How is the volume? How is my voice?
Okay.
Good.
Think everybody says okay.
Good, good. Well, it's a joy to be with you tonight. I'll try to keep my voice up enough so that everybody can hear. Nice to see faces of 10 or 12 people and to see the names of another 10 or 12. So good to be with you. Just want to let you folks know that at Vernon Gospel Chapel on Sunday mornings, after we break bread, we all stay together as a fellowship and we pray, and the whole church stays in, not a large church, but we all stay in. And I think number 10 or number 14 on our prayer list is to pray for the work at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel.
Thank
So we
you.
pray for you. I'm going to say the word. Is it okay to say the word religiously? We pray consistently and joyfully for the work at 16th Avenue. You have a very big schedule. I was looking at the Zoom meetings and many meetings you're having each week. But we sure appreciate the opportunity to participate and fellowship with you in prayer. And we pray for many needs because I speak to Harold regularly and we get updates on needs. So that's a wonderful joy that we do at Vernon Gospel Chapel. So we began a study in the Acts of the Apostles at the chapel about 4 weeks ago. And after 4 weeks of diligent study, we got through the first chapter. So we're not exactly rushing through the book. But I would like to share some thoughts with you on the first few verses of Acts chapter 1. So let's read in Acts chapter 1 together. And then we're going to read in the first few verses of Luke chapter 1 as well. I've really been enjoying our study in the book of Acts, and there's so much in here, but we're just going to try to think about one subject this evening, and I can describe it for you this way. How far would you be prepared to go in the work of the Lord? I'll say that again to you. How far would you be prepared to go in the work of the Lord? And this is what spoke to me as I meditated upon the early verses in the Acts of the Apostles. And I thought of this man, Luke. We'll talk about Luke a little bit. And then I thought about this man, Theophilus. Theophilus is mentioned twice in the Word of God, in the verses we're going to read here in Acts and in the first few verses in Luke. And Luke was a man who had a relationship with Theophilus. We don't know exactly what that relationship was, but I'll try to build out my thoughts with you tonight to get you to consider how far are you prepared to go in working with people in the work of God. So let's just think about that. Let's read together in Acts chapter 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, this is verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now turn back in your Bible to Luke chapter 1. And let's read together the first four verses. For as much as many have undertaken, I'm sorry, as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which were most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And those are the two passages in the New Testament that refer to this man called Theophilus. And we don't know a great deal about this man. We can deduce certain things from what we've read in these passages, but what we do know is that Luke, who was the traveling companion of Paul through his missionary journeys, somewhere in the course of those journeys, he met this man called Theophilus. And he developed a very real spiritual interest in the life of Theophilus. How serious do you think Luke's interest was in the life of this man? Just ponder that for a minute. Here's Luke, the beloved physician. He wasn't one of the apostles. I've tried to piece this together in my own thinking and understanding of what Scripture says. He wasn't one of the original 12 disciples who became the 12 apostles, and Judas, of course, was replaced by Matthias. He wasn't numbered among that group. Perhaps he was one of the 70 disciples that followed the Lord. I'm not even to determine from Scripture, and if you understand better than me, you could certainly share with me later, whether he actually saw the risen Lord. But he was among individuals who did see the risen Lord. It tells us in the passage in Acts that we just read, it tells us that the Lord manifested himself unto those apostles and the believers, the disciples who were with the Lord before Pentecost. We'll read it again in verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that's his crucifixion and resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining unto the kingdom of God. And it seems to us that the Lord Jesus came in and out of the presence of the disciples, the apostles, over a period of 40 days. And it tells us a little bit further on that it wasn't just the 12 apostles who saw the Lord, but a much larger group of men saw the Lord. Now, this was very important for these men to be able to go out and fulfill the mission that the Lord Jesus had gave to them. This manifestation, they had to be completely convinced in their own mind that Jesus had been risen from the dead, that he was alive, that he is who he said he was, and all of those sorts of things. So these men were specifically blessed by seeing a physical manifestation of the Lord Jesus. And now you can understand how these men could go out and do the sorts of things they did after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I haven't seen a physical manifestation of the Lord Jesus like they did. The Lord Jesus has not come in and out of my house or my bedroom that I'm in 40, on and off over 40 days. But that being said, I don't know whether Luke was one of the men who actually saw the Lord Jesus in his resurrected state. I'm not sure, right? Again, you can correct me later if you can show me somewhere in the Word of God that would teach us that. But there was a different manifestation that Luke experienced, and that was the convincing manifestation of the indwelling Spirit of God who dwells in the life, indwells the life of every born-again Christian. And that is equally powerful, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. One of you men, when you were wonderfully praying, referred to the idea of God as our Father. Where do you get the idea of God as our Father? One day you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you bow to him and you trust him, and the next day you're talking to God as your Father. How does that happen? Is it psychology? Did you read a book? No, the Spirit of God has activated something in terms of your relationship with God. And there are many, many manifestations of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of the Lord in our life, supernatural manifestations within our spirit. So, maybe that's where Luke was. Maybe Luke never saw the risen Lord. But Luke joined as a companion of Paul, and Paul had three missionary journeys, which are mapped out in Acts. And do you know how many years Acts comprises? I'm sure you're all good Bible students and you probably all know. Acts comprises 29, the first 29 years of the Christian church. Should read Acts. It's dynamic.
Amen.
12 men. There's some men here tonight. There's seven or eight or nine men and many ladies. 12 men like us. They were as much human beings as you and I are. They were not supernatural angels flying around with supernatural powers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were committed to the work of Christ. And through those earthen vessels, the Lord Jesus did his work. And in 29 years, the world was turned upside down.
Amen.
The gospel went from Jerusalem. You want to talk about a powerful preacher? Look at the preaching of Peter. One day he's cowering with fear up in the room, not sure about the future of his life and what it all means with the death of the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord Jesus manifests himself unto Peter and the other apostles. And the next day, or shortly after, 10 days later, Peter is preaching a message. I mean, he was afraid of a servant girl. And 50 days later, he preaches to thousands in Jerusalem. And in one day, thousands of people are born again by the Spirit of God. And as I was meditating upon this, my brothers and sisters, I realize this is going on today.
Amen.
If we could see what the Spirit of God is doing in the world, worldwide, I think it would have two effects upon us. I think, first of all, we would probably weep just at the sheer greatness of what God is doing in this world. As I'm speaking to you right now, and I think the second thing that probably would happen is we would just be humbled and rejoice. I'm sure we would weep to comprehend the greatness of what the Lord Jesus is actually doing, just as he did in these early days of the Christian church. 12 men plus many other disciples, another 100 or 120 disciples who saw the resurrected Lord. They went out into the world of their day, and the gospel went all throughout Israel, Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem. It went up into to Rome, into Italy, into Turkey. It went down into Egypt. The gospel just spread out, just incredibly. How far are you prepared to go? Are you prepared to go down your street? And you say, well, I don't find it easy to talk to people. By the way, neither do I. Are you prepared to go down your street and give tracts or books or kind gifts to people? How far are you prepared to set aside the regular activities of your own life to reach out to the world that God has put you in the middle of? Well, most of us have to hang our heads and we have to say that the Lord's got to do a lot of work in our lives. Our level of interest in people and our level of concern for people around us is often very low. But the Lord needs to work in my life, and perhaps the Lord needs to work in your life. How far would you go? How far are you prepared to go? How far am I prepared to sacrifice? How much are you prepared to sacrifice? For these 12 men who went out, they gave everything. They had nothing. They literally went out into the world of that day and they changed the gospel, the power of the gospel, changed that culture, changed that society. Today, you and I live in a very, very, very favored land, the land of Canada. You know that Canada was changed through the power of the gospel that swept through the British Isles in the 1800s and the 1900s. It's just incredible. We're just a part of living history. But those people served, and the torch is passed on to us in our generation to ask the question, how far am I prepared to go in the work of the Lord and the preaching of the gospel? Do you know that I read a statistic, and then we'll get on to Luke and Theophilus a little bit. You know, I read a statistic a while ago, and it shocked me. It was actually a missionary who returned from the mission field and had given much of his life to very, very difficult work in very dangerous places in the world. And he came back, and he came back to the big church that he was from in the United States. And he saw all the beautiful polished pews and the carpets on the floor and the ornate buildings and the polish and the professionalism of everything. And he decided he wanted to take a survey to find out how many people were concerned about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And he shared these amazing statistics with us on the message we listened to. He said that 70% of Christians do not intend ever to witness for the Lord Jesus. I just can't believe that statistic. Because one of the basic things that happens in the heart of a person when the Lord Jesus saves them is that they become connected with the God through the power of the Holy Spirit with the work of the Lord Jesus, which is the evangelization of the world. Beginning in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. Brothers and sisters, if I'm not concerned about the lost on my street, then there's something wrong in my spiritual relationship with the Lord Jesus. I'm sorry, it's really as simple as that. If I'm not concerned about the lost around me, something has gone amiss in my own life. My life has become cluttered with all sorts of things that don't matter. And the voice of the Holy Spirit working in my life has lost its effect and its power. And I confess to you, many times in my life, I've lived like that, to my own shame, to not be concerned. How far are you prepared to go? How far was Luke prepared to go with one man? So the man we're thinking of is a man called Theophilus. Do you realize that Luke, the brilliant doctor who traveled with Paul, imagine traveling with Paul. I don't know how many miles Paul traveled, but a lot, probably thousands. Imagine all that Luke experienced, all that he observed. And maybe he didn't see the resurrected Christ, but he saw the power of the Holy Spirit and he experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine how many people Luke talked to as he traveled with Paul. But one day he meets a man by the name of Theophilus. And he writes two treaties or two historical documents to this man. Now, Theophilus, we can try to figure out a little bit more about him. But do you realize that that's 52 chapters of the New Testament Luke, this doctor, wrote to a single man? Others read it, of course. We're reading some of it today. The Church of the Lord Jesus, since his ascension, has been blessed through these inspired texts that we have. But the original intent of the writing of these letters was to one man, Theophilus, at least I think, according to what I can understand. Do you realize that Luke sat down after having met this man? Maybe he met him many times. Maybe he had a relationship with him. Maybe he was a friend. I don't know. But you realize that Luke sat down and he wrote 52 chapters on the life of the Lord Jesus for one man to read. 52 chapters. Read the chapters. And you'll dig into and understand the incredible things that Luke wrote. How long would it have taken Luke to write the Gospel of Luke, which is 24 chapters long, and the Acts of the Apostles, or the continuing Acts of the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through people? How long would it have taken to write 52 chapters? How much thought would Luke have to have given as he thought of this man, Theophilus, He thought of him, understood something about this man, said, I want to communicate the most important truth that the world has ever heard. I want to put it down in writing, and I want to put it down in writing for one man. Now, of course, we don't know. Luke may have thought, well, if it reaches Theophilus, it'll reach a lot of other people. I don't want to get carried away here, but they are written to Theophilus. 52 chapters. Well, how many verses? I don't know. 1500 verses? How much mental effort and time did Luke put into communicating the truth of the Lord Jesus to one person? How far are you and I prepared to go to communicate the truth of the Lord Jesus to people? Is it just a passing comment, a passing little note? Or do we really enter into a serious relationship with the people that God has put around us to utilize all of the resources that God has put in His Word to try to convince people of the truth of who the Lord Jesus is? Is it a light thing? It doesn't really matter. Or is it a serious thing? And I have to say that for many of us, we're not like Luke. We're not writing two letters like this. My wife has written letters to many of our children, to many people. My wife even was exercised to have a book republished, a book written by George Hardy. She retyped the entire book. She gave a copy of that book to 10 or 12 families on our street, the book called
Amen.
Countdown.
Amen.
Are we doing these types of things? Or does the cost of the bearing of the message of the Lord Jesus, is it something that we don't place great sacrifice or cost on? For Luke, I think it took him not hours to write. I think it took him days, maybe months, to do what he actually did
Amen.
for one person. One person. Now, perhaps Theophilus was a very important person because he is referred to as the excellent Theophilus. And that was a title, of course, that dignitaries had, and it's wonderful how the message of the gospel went right into the courts of the palace. And perhaps through a person like Theophilus, Luke could look at this and say, if this message could reach this man, then the message of the gospel could reach into the parts of the life of the society that would be difficult to get to with the gospel. I don't know. But he seemed to be an important man, Theophilus. Now, we don't know whether Theophilus was a Christian or not. And it doesn't really matter. Because we're really not talking about Theophilus here. We're really talking about the heart of Luke that would do that. Take the time to write 27% of all the volume of passages in the New Testament is in these two letters. 27%, brothers and sisters. So, that's great. That's a good encouragement to us to think of this great man, Luke, and the sacrifices that he made. Of course, the sacrifices that Luke made were far, far more than that. Having traveled with the Apostle Paul through his life, having given up his own career, his own status, his own comfort to travel with Paul and to be a companion of Paul. What a wonderful thing to travel with Paul to help Paul.
Amen.
It wasn't exactly a ride in the limousine, in the king's limousine, was it? It was a tough go. You read of the things that Luke experienced as he took there, or rather Paul experienced as he took to the gospel to the people of that day. The beatings, the persecution, the deprivation, the experiences, the fatigue. Luke was a part of that. And we're blessed by the technical skill that God gave to Luke that he could record these things for us. But this was no Sunday school picnic for Luke. This was a real sacrifice that this man made. And in the midst of that, he meets one man called Theophilus. And God lays a burden on his heart for that one man, to the point that he writes these two books. I mentioned earlier this evening that at 16th, we have a prayer list. It's about 45 items on the prayer list. And if you were to come in and look at the prayer list and you would say, well, you've been praying for Jane's mom for 10 years, and you've been praying for John Box for 10 years, and you've been praying for this person for 10 years, and nothing has happened. Well, actually, some things have happened, but, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot has happened. And are we prepared as Christians to continue to pray for these people? I would like to think that we will pray for these people into the future without any end date.
Amen.
Just to continue to pray for these people. Now, maybe God wants us to do more than pray. Probably he does, right? And that's where he needs to work in our hearts to be like Luke and do more. To take the step to write the letter. How many letters have you written to people in your life out of deep spiritual concern? How many people have you taken aside out of deep spiritual concern and said, I'm really concerned about this brother or sister. This doesn't seem right. How many people have you reached out to around you in your Jerusalem, right by you? Because if the Holy Spirit is working in my life, I will be reaching out to those people. And then if I'm concerned about those people, the Holy Spirit will be having me to reach out a little further and a little further, to the point where we're concerned about the world. Are you concerned about what's going on in China? Many of you are Chinese, I'm sure you are. Are you concerned about what's going on for Christians in Iran, in northern India, in parts of the Soviet Union, in Venezuela? That's the world. And if we're fellowshipping with the Lord, some of that will come into our life and we will be concerned about this. Anyways, quickly back to our story here because our time is going. Actually, it's not a story. It's a divine record of something. But Theophilus, the name means basically one of two things. You probably already know this. It either means lover of God, Theophilus, one who was a lover of God. So if it does mean that he was a lover of God, it doesn't change the fact of Luke's interest in him. Now Luke is interested in him as a lover of God, that he would continue on. We saw that in Luke, did we not? Where it says, to write in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So that would sort of suggest to us that Luke was a follower, Theophilus was a follower of the Lord Jesus. It doesn't confirm it, but it gives the sense of it. But so maybe Theophilus was a born-again man, and maybe under the status and the privilege that he had in his high rank in society, maybe Luke looked at it and said, I need to create more certainty for that person so that he can be sound and solid in his faith. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write 52 chapters to him of the history of the Christian church and the life of the Lord Jesus. And in those 52 chapters, I'm going to tell him everything I can about what Jesus did when he was alive on earth. And now I'm going to tell him everything I can about what Jesus is doing now that he's in heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that he can have certainty. Do you write any letters like that? To give people certainty? 52 chapters? Thankfully, there are many people who do.
Amen.
Many, many people who do. And we look to those people and we feed off what those people write. And we utilize the resources that they have poured their life into. What about the Bill McDonalds of the world? One of the most prolific Christian writers in the last 100 years. These men poured their lives into writing stuff to bless other people? Or has our Christianity become little short paragraph Christianity? How much do we invest into bringing certainty to our brothers and sisters in the Lord by taking serious time to minister God's word to them, which is what Luke, of course, was doing? Remember what the Lord Jesus said to Peter just before he went back to heaven? He said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." I'm so glad there's people who looked upon me as a sheep and helped feed me in
Amen.
my life. So there's the first idea of Theophilus, one who was a lover of God. And I hope that's the case, that that's who Theophilus was, a lover of God. That somehow, he was a Gentile, somehow the gospel reached him and he realized how wonderful God was. But he needed to be built up. And Luke, in the very crazy busyness of life, of being the servant of the Apostle Paul, found time to write 52 chapters to one man. Brothers and sisters, doesn't that just strike you as incredible?
Amen.
52 chapters with all the details that he puts in there. This was not some casual novel that he was writing. This was a highly accurate historical document filled with doctrine and truth and practice that could undergird the foundation of the life of a person like Theophilus. Well, the other interpretation of the name is the one that I kind of like more, is loved by God. This one strikes me in a more, kind of in a more precious way. Maybe Theophilus was not a born-again man. Maybe he was an interested man in Christianity, watching what it was doing in the culture of that day as these simple men went out and these cities were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the world was turned upside down. And maybe he was a one who Luke looked at him and said, "This man is loved by God." And he doesn't realize that he's loved by God. Or he doesn't comprehend the greatness of what it means to have a God who loves him. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to simply write a lot about the Lord Jesus to help him realize that he's loved by God. And maybe he will turn to God. I don't know. I'm not sure. But it's an interesting thought. When we look at people around us, if in point of fact the interpretation of the name is correct as loved by God, and we look around at people, how do we actually see them? Today I always get a cup of coffee at Tim Hortons on my way to work. Every single day without fail, Tim Hortons gets $5 from me every day. And there were some street people there. They were really rough, really rough. I had a hard time finding in my heart to find natural love. Natural love's not going to do it. It's going to need to be God's love to help people like that. And sometimes we find ourselves falling short. And then we know that God loves people, but we find that we have a hard time loving people. But the Lord Jesus, who was filled with the Spirit, he loved people.
Amen.
And if I don't love people, I'm not filled with the Spirit. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. How do we know that we love God? Because we love his own family, his own children, our brothers, but we love other people as well. So if Luke was in point of fact reaching out to this man because he wanted him to have the experience of God's love, he went a long ways. How far was Luke prepared to go? Well, he probably went much further than what we read in these two books. But he was prepared to go as far as what we can see in these books, which was to fully and completely bring a message to this man of the life and the continuing work of the Lord Jesus. And we're blessed to, by God's Spirit, to become more like this person, Luke. So be encouraged by the Lord's Spirit. He can help us to go further than we have gone in our lives. We're getting older, time is short, and God has placed us among people that we need to reach out to those people. So may the Lord encourage you. Let's just close our time in prayer. Father, we just
Amen.
want to thank you for this wonderful record of Luke. Lord, all of those apostles, they gave everything to the Lord Jesus. Lord, help us to recognize the need in our life, to surrender our lives day by day. Thank you for the days, Lord, when we do surrender, Lord, but sometimes there are days when we don't surrender. Lord, may the purpose for which you have brought us into relationship with yourself, may it be realized in our daily living among the people who you have placed us, so that the gospel of the Lord Jesus can flow out from us to all those people who we have a relationship with. And give us a heart, Lord, beyond just our own circles and our own families. Give us a heart that extends out further to people that we don't know. Lord, these are big prayers, and we ask that by your Spirit you would help us. So thank you for the story of Luke and his witness to this man, Theophilus. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us now. And for those who are traveling home in cars in Vancouver, we ask that you would take them to their homes safely, we pray. In Jesus'
Amen.
name, amen.
Amen.